6th meeting of the 174th year of the Waukesha County County Board of Supervisors. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance and a silent prayer. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
All supervisors are present.
All right, I don't see any public comment. County Clerk correspondence and announcements.
Certainly all August ordinances were signed by the County Executive, and we have three claims filed since our last meeting.
All right, announcements. First, I have several announcements this evening. I don't know if you can forget, but remember tomorrow evening is the public hearing about Manaki. You should have an email that came from Sarah. Please check it regarding parking and other details. I would appreciate if you did that. There will be water provided, and it would be a good idea to bring your own pen and paper to take notes. If you, there'll be a lot of listening from what I've gathered so far. November 12th, which is the day that we'll be considering the budget that's presented us tonight, there'll be a soup cook-off. There's a sign-up sheet going around, and it's not chili this year, it's soup, or baked goods. So hope you can join us. Tomorrow at noon, or thereabouts, is the trike race, which raises money. And this year's team from the county board is Supervisor Heinrich, Supervisor Wolf, Supervisor Crowley, and Supervisor Grant. So if you can join us and cheer them on, that would be great. There's brats and other Kutcherman's Two Brats to be served, and it's all for a good cause, so please join us tomorrow. If at the end of the meeting you would please stay in your chairs, the budget books will be handed out at that time. So please stay in your chairs. You'll get the budget book. You can take home, and I know you're all going to read those and study those overnight and be completely familiar with it. But please do that. We'd appreciate that. I didn't see any other announcements. So I will next ask for a motion to approve the minutes from our previous meeting. So moved by Supervisor Howard, second by Supervisor Johnson. Any additions, deletions? Changes? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? They are passed. Tonight, the votes needed. 053 is 17 votes. That's one with the executive committee, 053. All others are simple majority. Our first schedule item, I'd like to introduce our county executive, Paul Farrow, who will present the 2020 proposed budget by the county executive. And we look forward to your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For those of you that I didn't get to talk to, I apologize. I am not pulling the Marco Rubio moment, but I have dry mouth due to some anti-inflammatories for a back that I threw out last week. So this should be a really good presentation. If I can get through before I pass out, we're in great shape. It is water, Jim. It is just water. You want to try to make sure? So I appreciate being here, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the time. As you know, this is now my fifth budget that I've been working on as a county executive. I've enjoyed the opportunities that I've had to work with the team. One of the things that we do constantly is keep a certain set of priorities in mind as we're going through our budget. And I've got these up here. First and foremost, we're always looking at public safety, keeping our public safe, making sure that the roads and our infrastructure stay in good condition. One of the things that we have been working on since I've been here is economic development, and it's the support of that. As you know, in the 2014, you dissolved the WCEDC, and with a resolution in 2015, we had to come up with a new economic engine, which we created the Center for Growth. Planning for our future, we're always looking at ways that we can set up the county to be in its best fiscal condition. You know that when it comes to the capital plan, we have a 5-year plan that we work with so that we don't see any major spikes going through. We also are working on a couple of ideas that I will present, and we look to the future to make sure that we're in the best condition that we can be for the county and the residents. Preserving our tradition of a good conservative budgeting and keeping our taxes low. That's one of the mainstays that we have. It's one of the unique situations we have here in the county. As a number of you know, we have the opportunity to work together. And that's one of the few things that occurs in most other counties that I've talked to when I talk to administrators or county execs. When we're going through the deliberations throughout the year, we have county chairman, we have the board, the committee chairman, we have Jim, our finance chairman, Mr. Decker, our county chair, is there to hear some of the conversations that are going on, to hear what the departments are talking about, and they're able to give input and ask questions during that time so that we can get resolution before we bring the budget forward to you. And I'd like to thank Chairman Heinrich and Chairman Decker for their time. Also the chairmen's, Chairman Howard, Nelson, Swan, Wolf, and Zimmerman, who've come in at the different times, and I know there's other supervisors that came in throughout the summer to work with us, and I appreciate that. You know, it's a long deliberation that we go through. It's a lot of hard work that we put in. I'd like to, again, kind of extend a thank you. Andy Telke jumped on board as our new DOA director. Yes, Andy is the new norm, pun intended. But he has done a fantastic job, and as usual, Linda Witkowski and her entire team in budget have done a phenomenal job working with the departments to make sure that we have a good, solid budget that we're presenting tonight. And I want to thank them for their efforts. And when we go through the budget process, one of the things that we look for is public opinion as well. And that's a challenge that we put out there to make sure that we're listening to what the public has and what their priorities are. We do this on a couple of different ways. In fact, this year we're starting the 2020 strategic plan, which will go from 2020 to 23. We'll have some focus groups and discussions with individuals throughout the county during that time. But also during the years that we don't have that, the departments themselves do environmental scans and reach out and get input to make sure that we're still following what the priorities are for the people in Waukesha County. As you can see, we've got the 5 priorities up here. Justice and public safety have always been number one. They want to make sure that they've got they feel safe in the homes and the businesses that they work in. Human services, especially with the opioid issues that we have and with the mental health issues that we're facing now, that is always the second priority. And then kind of roads and infrastructure comes in after that. So when we look at this budget this year, and we look at how we've broken down every dollar that we have, this is the breakdown that you're looking at. 41% of this year's budget is directed to public safety and justice. Human services is 24%. Our public works and infrastructure is 10%, and our parks and land use is 8%. This is the focus that the citizens have asked us to keep in mind as we move forward, and it's one that we continually keep in mind as we move forward to make sure that we're doing the right things and are being good fiscal stewards. Along with the input that we have from the constituency, we also have to keep in mind what the state tells us to do. And as you know, I know you were just, most of you are up at the Counties Association. We've had the last 2 days of the meeting there. We've heard new challenges that are occurring left and right. One of the things that we face from the state level and from the budget when it's introduced, this year's actually, we're in good shape. There were some new monies that were put into HHS. But the challenge we have is over the years, the state comes up with great ideas and great programs. Some of the time they fund them, some of the time they don't fund them. And those unfunded mandates are directives that we have to provide and we have to utilize county levy and county revenues in order to do that. When you look at it, roughly 42%, almost 43% of our county levy is for those mandated areas. So when we're looking at savings, we have to find the savings from those programs that are not under the mandates. So we've got a limited scope that we can look at when we have to consider the savings. Along with that, we get our levy limit. You know, one of the things that we've determined throughout the year, we've seen throughout the years, is there's a hard cap that was set forth by the legislature of net new construction. In Waukesha County, we're the third largest county in the state. We have roughly a valuation of about $58 billion. So we see significant growth. In the last year, we saw growth almost $800 million. The problem is, when you're looking at numbers that big, that percentage isn't very high. So the number that we got down from the state this year is 1.47%. That's our levy from the state. The good news is we also get a 0.2% bump from some TIFs that have closed this year. So we've got some new revenue that occurs from that. And then there's some adjustments that occurred. So we're looking kind of all around about 1.7% is what the new levy is going to be at. Over the last 5 years, as you can see, we've stayed below what the hard cap was for the state. We've saved about $2.4 million. We've done that by being fiscally prudent, by looking at ways that we can save money, by working with the departments to see where we can conserve and where we can allocate the dollars so they're most effective. No, I jumped the gun on that one. Now it doesn't like that slide. One of the things to keep in mind as we're working with the departments, and we heard a lot of this last year, is our cost to continue. You know, when you look at a cost to continue, what we're talking about is how much does it cost to do projects this year, to do the programs this year, and how much in new dollars next year is it going to cost us to do that exact same thing. And we've talked about it in the past. It's roughly about 3%. So we have to look at a 3% growth over this year to cover just day-to-day operations, the exact same as we have. And that is a challenge, as you saw, with a levy of 1.47%, we don't get enough to cover all of the costs to continue. Some of the departments are a little bit higher, some are a little bit lower. That's why I use about that 3% marker. You've seen this slide, you see it every year. This is what would happen if we don't cover the gap in the 2020 budget. So this year, as we're looking forward to the 2020 budget, the numbers that we were looking at was about $3.7 million is that gap. If we have $1.7 million coming in, which is the 1.7 levy, we still have a loss that we have to make up, roughly about 1.5%. That is the goal, that is the drive of the departments to figure out how we can save that money, where we can come up with cost savings. One of the ways that we've done that is looking at projects, looking at ways that we can collaborate, we can consolidate programs, or we can create partnerships. And we've created over the years over 100 different partnerships or collaborations. We've privatized some of our programs to save money that way. That is the one thing that I am proud of this county, is we're looking at ways how we can constantly and consistently save taxpayers' dollars and how we can share those services, how we can work together to get it done. One of the big keys, again, is that planning. And I threw this slide in, we were talking about it, and I wanted to let you know what's been happening with the efforts that you're allowing us to do. To date, we've had over 200 employees of the county. We have roughly 1,500 employees that have gone through lean training and continuous improvement programs. They've came up with projects. They've came up with ideas and programs to save time and money. And that's one of the things that we are proud of here, is we're creating a culture where our employees are looking at ways that we can reduce the impact, how we can stretch our processes better, how we can work more efficiently for the taxpayers. These capital projects, the plans that they come into place, as you can see, also include our project, our programming. Over the years, we've created the five-year plan. We've created vehicle maintenance repairs. We've created equipment repair plans that go over a multiple number of years. So we don't see spikes that occur throughout the years as suddenly something comes up. We've got a good idea moving forward of what's going to happen throughout the year and can prepare for it. In 2018, we began another process, and it was focused on customer service. And one of the things that we look at when you come into a building and you want to get them something done here, you need to interact with people. And so we challenged our employees to look at customer service, to look at how we provide the services day to day to the constituents that are walking in the doors. And so in 2018 and most of 2019, we've been including on every email that goes out a survey potential. Basically, at the bottom of it says, how did we serve? And they can click on that and take a survey. At most of the departments, there is a kiosk that they can fill out. This is our dashboard that we have for the county. And we can break this down actually by department to see how things are going. Our goal is to have a score of 4.5 or better on a scale of 1 to 5 when it comes to all-around customer service. And one of the things I'm excited about is we're at 4.69 right now. You know, if you look at the five categories that we're really focusing on, these are categories that impact people. The accuracy of the information that we're providing them, the accessibility that we have, the attitude that our employees have towards them and the respectfulness that we have towards them, the communication that we have, and the timeliness of getting the answers back. And we're not 100%, but we're constantly working on getting better and better. And we've been working with an organization called the Studer Group to do this. And I'll tell you, it was exciting. Last month, we had a large group of kind of the frontline employees go through this training. And the feedback we got from them the day of was excitement. We've never had information like this. This gives us a new idea, a new approach, and it shows the importance of what we do to the county and to the constituents in the county and how it can make a difference. And that's one of the things that we're trying to change here in the culture of the county is making sure that we really are a service-oriented, helping the individuals come out as they move forward. With that, all that being said, let's talk about 2020. This is a difficult budget, and they're going to get more difficult year to year. We're facing a lot of challenges. We're facing a lot of stringent, tight levy limits because we don't see the growth and other outside forces that are challenging us. And so our goal is to constantly bring to you a budget that is thoughtful, is effective, and will keep us in a good fiscal position as we move forward, balancing the taxpayers' dollars with the services that we provide. Right off the bat, one of the things I'm excited and happy to show you is that over the last 5 years, in fact, the last 6 years, we've had a tax cut every year. This year, we have our tax rate will be cut by 7 cents, so it'll be $1.82 per thousand. That keeps us in second place of all counties. Keeps us in first place if you talk about counties that don't have a sales tax. Ozaukee is the only one that's lower than us, and they have a sales tax on it. So we're able to provide the level of services, provide the opportunities that we have with no sales tax in place and having the lowest tax rate of any county in the state. If you look at the allocation for 2020, this is what I'm recommending to you that we have for the different departments. And you can see right off the bat, in public safety, our sheriff's department is receiving $550,000 of the new levy. In all the public safety areas, the sheriff's department, the ME, the DA's department, the courts are receiving over $1 million in levy. Our emergency preparedness is the second highest. Again, we take into the count with Oconomowoc and Menominee Falls coming in. We made some new adjustments and personnel are going there. So we're seeing some growth in that area. Parks has an increase for the first time in a number of years. due to, again, some maintenance and things that we're working on in the different areas. And Public Works and HHS, if you look at those two numbers, you kind of got to look at yourself and say, what's going on here? Because we know how important HHS is, and we know how important our roads are. Well, the good news is the state has stepped up. In this last budget, we had a significant increase in funds allocated to the county for both HHS projects and for Public Works. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. If you look at overall the last 5 years, total tax levy and fund balance, again, the Sheriff's Department's received about $2.6 million. And you can see how it's spread out through the last. Again, if you look at the parks and the courts, over the last 5 years, they've been givers by department more than receiving. And so they've helped us continue to make sure that we're keeping in mind what the constituents want. With justice and public safety, that is the key. And in this budget, as I said, we've had over $1 million. The conversations I've had with Sheriff Severson this year have been great. It's been a positive. There's some good ideas that we're sharing across the aisle. But I also want to give a shout out to DA Sue Opper. I know Gina's not here, but our clerk of courts, Gina Coletti, has been working hard. Gary Bell at Emergency Preparedness and Dr. B over at the ME's have all gone above and beyond to make sure that their departments are working as smoothly as possible. And we know a lot of that is impacted by the construction that's going on here in this building. That's why we can see some of the room changes that we have. That isn't the crying room for people when we go through the budget deliberations. This actually is a courtroom throughout the day when you guys aren't around. With the Sheriff's Department, I guess the one thing I want to talk about with him in what we've done, we talked about this last year, is our phase-in of new positions. As you know, as the new 8 courtrooms are being built, we needed to have 3 additional correctional officers when that's done. But in the interim, because of some of the inconveniences that were happening, they determined that we needed about 6 new correctional officers. So last year, or in this budget, we created 1 new correctional officer under their levy, and 5 that were being paid for by fund balance. This year, we're moving it the step further. We've got 2 positions that are gonna be funded by levy, and the other 4 are gonna be by the fund balance. So in 21, all 3 positions that they need moving forward will be funded under the levy. The 3 positions that they needed while we're working through the construction will sunset at the end of 21. And that is a program that so far is working very well. Talking with the sheriff, everything is in good shape. They haven't seen any issues that they're worrying about at this time. In Health and Human Services, as I talked about, one of the big things that occurred is we have roughly over $4 million of new funds that were sent to Health and Human Services departments. And I give credit to Antoine and his team that worked diligently. And I give credit to Chairman Howard for the HHS and Chairman Nelson for the HHS board for their diligence. We had some of our employees who were showing what the problems we're facing. And especially in Child Protective Services, we were able to get some of the very important funds we need to keep our youngest safe. And that was a great stride for us moving forward. Because of that, we were able to alleviate some of the new levy to that department for this year, but we'll continue to work with them to make sure that we're providing those services as we move forward. In Public Works, we got an increase in the general transportation aid. Again, that helps us pay for the road structures that we have and what's going on, reduces the impact that we have to have with our levy to get these projects done. But the key, especially in Public Works, why you saw it drop so much, and I know a number of you supervisors have been working on this and waiting diligently to see this day happen. The county airport in 2020 will not have any tax levy. It'll be self-sustaining. And it's something we've been working towards. And again, I'll give Director Allison Bussler credit for that and Kurt Stanich out at the airport. Dave Swan, Jennifer, I know you guys have been working diligently to get this down to 0. And we're at that day that it is. And I think that's a huge testament to what the employees are doing out at the airport to encourage more growth and more opportunities to remove that levy. That was about a $60,000 levy that we were adding in last year. In that budget as well, we still have about $13.5 million that's allocated for the completion of the new 8-courtroom building that we're putting on. So that should be finished up. We'll be starting phase two and discussions and design in 2021, which will be the redesign of the old court building and working through that. And next year, we start one of our major road construction programs is County Road M, which is North Avenue, from 124th Street out to Calhoun. And that whole area will be begin next year and finish up as soon as we can. One of the challenges we have is our road programs. At any given time, we have almost 25 to 30 programs that are on our 5-year capital plan. And we are challenged to make sure that we're balancing the money that's coming in that isn't just the county money. It's state money and it's federal money. And we've got to work within those timelines. So there's some adjustments that occur. But keep in mind, I know the department works diligently to make sure that we're keeping the roads as safe as possible. And we're getting the roads repaired as quickly as possible as we have the funds allocated for us. And that is one of the challenges that they go through every single year as we look at the capital plan. In parks and land use, we've talked about it. The big thing I want you to keep in mind, especially with parks, is they're diligent at working to make sure that the cost for the parks is covered. In this case, 53% of it over the last 4 years has been covered by the sale of the park passes, the annual stickers, the boat stickers, the daily passes. We're looking at ways that we reduce that impact, and I know Dale would be the first one to attest. We use a lot of volunteer help. Kohl's has been out there. We've had Milwaukee Tools. We have GE that comes out and does volunteer days to help us clear different areas of the parks to keep them viable for people. Anytime that we can find ways to save the cost and reduce it by bringing in volunteers or looking at those fee structures, that's how our focus is to maintain the park systems. But parks isn't just about the green space that we have. It's about the different program areas that we have as well. Wow, did I hit a bunch of these. Yeah. You guys haven't heard anything about the golf courses, have you?
Yeah.
You know, let me take a minute right here. When I came in 2015, and you look at the budget, you look at my first budget, and I look at what's going on, we were told that the golf courses are self-sustaining. And at that time, two of the golf courses were losing more than $100,000. And I challenged Dale and his team to say, look, if you don't reduce this impact, we've got to close these courses. Because we can't let that fund go to zero, or we lose all three courses. And so it was a challenge. Dale and his team stepped up. At Moore Downs went from losing about $100,000 in 2015 to last year lost about $13,000 to $18,000, which is a significant change. The problem is we're not seeing that change at Wanaki. And in order to maintain Nagawaki and Moore Downs, I'm recommending that we close the Wanaki golf course in 2020. This isn't an easy decision. And I'll tell you, if you want to have a fun conversation, call your father-in-law up, whose home course Wanaki is. I don't know which call was more difficult to say. I'd like your daughter's hand in marriage, or I'm closing your golf course. I know which one he told me was. But it's a challenge, and it is emotional. And it's something that we have to look at. And trust me, this isn't something I decided on July 16th. And made the announcement on July 17th. This is something that we've been looking at the last 4 years. We've been trying to figure out changes in what we can do and how we can work it through. But when you look at a record of over 10 years where we've lost more than $100,000 a year at this golf course, there's something that's there that there's an issue that we have that we couldn't rectify. And that was primarily a change in how people are golfing. It's a change across the country in how golfing is being utilized. It's a change when you look at the 18-hole play compared to the 9-hole play. When the golf course was built in 1970, there were very few other courses in Waukesha County. In the 1990s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, developers realized that they could solve some of their green space problem by creating golf communities. Now we have 19 courses in Waukesha County. Only three of them are public, publicly funded. I'll take that back. There are roughly, I think, and I might be getting the numbers skewed a little bit, there's roughly 16 private or privately owned courses that are public accessible. And I think there's about 8 courses that are private courses that are clubs. So there's been a change in the market, and there's been a shift in the market. And we've got to look at market demand. When you look back in the 90s, we were producing over 53,000 rounds of golf at Wanaki. And we've seen a consistent and kind of steady drop in those rounds of golf. So when you look at today, on the average, we're doing about 36 to 38,000 rounds. That trend is nationwide. And there are articles that are talking about municipal golf courses. Can they survive? Are they being shuttered? What is happening? So this is something that we've been trying to challenge. We've been looked at and figure out what could we do. We had a golf study done in 2014 that we looked at. We, as you know, in 2017, we replaced the bridges out there to see if we could find changes. But we didn't see any consistent change in that reduction. And one of the main reasons is how the golf is being played. When you look at this next chart, on the left side, in the blue column, you can see at Nagawaki, 58% of the rounds are 18-hole rounds that are played. 42% are 9-hole. When you look on the right side, 62% of the rounds played at Wanaki are 9 holes. And only 38% are 18-hole. The difference between those two is we're not capturing that additional revenue. Usually when they're playing 18 holes, they've got a cart involved. They come in at the turn, they'll grab some concessions. Unfortunately, and I know, and I've heard from many people and talked to many people, the 9 holes is what happens at Wanaki. We have a large contingent of the high school teams that are there. We have junior golf programs there. We have men's leagues that are there. We don't have a way to capture additional revenue because the majority of the time, they're not staying at the location and moving out. Like private golf courses that can increase their funds by having reception areas or having more food and beverage capacity than we can. So if you look over the years, the last 30 years that we've had the golf fund, you can see the blue line is the rounds of golf on average. The yellow is the balances that we've had in our golf fund, the cash balance. And look again, that mid-90s to late 90s, early 2000s, we were riding pretty well. That continued to drop as we saw the rounds per golf drop. To the point where back in about 1998, we had $2.3 million in the golf fund, cash balance in the golf fund. At the end of 2018, we had $114,000. And that fund is there and is designed to maintain the golf courses and cover any losses throughout the years. So the challenge that we have right now is we have our golf courses that still need maintenance, but are losing significant money. And at some point we have to say, enough. We're not being good fiscal stewards. As much as it hurts me to say that, this is the challenge that we're facing. Last year, we lost $243,000 at Wanaki. On top of that, you keep in mind, we have about $600,000 worth of maintenance that's needed over the next couple of years. That's just at Wanaki. My understanding and talking with Dale and his team is we're doing pretty well right now. Revenue is up from last year, but it's still not positive. And I think that's the biggest concern that I have is if we were trying to extend this another year, are we just putting money on as a Band-Aid and it's still going to keep bleeding? And how is that going to impact our other two courses? The goal is to be able to provide that golfing experience. I believe that we have that capacity if we close Wanaki. And it's a challenging decision. It's one that I'm handing off to you now. And trust me, I've had conversations with a number of you. There's a lot of ideas that have been floated out there and suggestions. We've looked at a lot of these. And you're going to hear more tomorrow. Keep in mind, our goal is to maintain a strong quality of life for the entire county. If closing one golf course has that huge an impact on the entire county, then yeah, it's something we need to keep in mind. But if it impacts the other two golf courses and negatively impacts them, if it impacts our parks programs, then that's a challenge that we have to face and we have to face today. We talk about quality of life, and it's an important component of what we have in Waukesha County. This isn't going to be an easy conversation that you're going to have over the next month and a half. This hasn't been an easy conversation for me to have over the last 3 years. And look at what we can do and how we can accomplish trying to keep all three open. But along with this, we're going to have serious conversations of where the county is in other areas of quality of life. With no flexibility that we're having in the budgets, with the limits that we have in place, the challenges that are there, we're going to see more and more problems pop up and more challenges occur for us. And so that's where that planning component comes into play. Our five-year capital plan keeps in mind those situations that are occurring. We have to keep an eye on the golf courses, the other two, to make sure that they're sustaining. We also have to look at the ice arenas. Another enterprise fund and another challenge that we have. What we're recommending, as you see on this list, is to kind of a 10-year lookout of where our county properties are and what they're going to be needed 10 years from now. And it's going to be a hard look. The Expo Center, in the next 2 years, we're looking to replace the furnace, and it's not a cheap replacement. So we have to determine, is that building going to be viable for the next 10-plus years? Are the grounds viable? Or can we get revenue to generate enough to say that they're worth having in those places? The Northview property we've talked about, and I've talked to a number of you on. We have a building over there that has our Huber Law, our jail facility, and other things that are housed in there. That property is valuable property that we could put on the tax rolls. Can we do that in the next 10 years? And if so, where does that mean? Where do we put Huber? That's the study that we're looking at over the next 6 months or so. What do we do to prepare the county for the next 20 to 30 plus years for the property that it has? And are we keeping it in good shape? You know, we talk about the courthouse and the renovation in this building and what's going to be happening. What are we using it properly? You could also add on to this the UW facility. The contract that we have with UW System is going to be coming up in the next, I think, within the next 10 years-ish. But there's going to be another challenge. You know, we fund, the last couple of years, almost $1 million annually in the maintenance of the buildings and the grounds at UW Waukesha because of a contract that was created 40-some years ago. We have to keep in mind, what are we doing with this property and how are we working? And is it in the best condition, and what is the best condition of use for the next generations in our county? That's the challenge that we all face. On the good news side of it, when you look at economic development, as I said before, we are growing. Third largest county in the state, roughly $58 billion of value. We're a strong, solid company. Or county, sorry. Come on, I've been doing pretty good so far.
So far.
But when you look at what the Waukesha County Center for Growth that started 3 years ago, roughly, and the alliance that we have created with the Waukesha County Business Alliance and an independent organization in the Center for Growth and what it has done, it has leveraged capital expenditures over $82 million. Brought in 33 companies. This is just impact that we've had from the Center for Growth. 33 companies have either come in or expanded. We've seen 655 jobs created, leveraged about $8.9 million in WEDC credits to companies within the county. And we're seeing consistent, wow, I need a drink of water. We're seeing consistent growth and consistent opportunities. Companies are looking to move into this area because we have a great workforce. Because we have great opportunities, we've got a good infrastructure. There's a lot of growth, there's more announcements that are gonna be made. There's a lot of growth that's occurring up in Menominee Falls. And Supervisor Donlinger, you know that things that are happening up there are knocking it out of the park. We're seeing growth. When you go down to Maguanago is growing. Muskego has seen some growth. The great thing about this organization, the Center for Growth, is it's a partnership, not just with the Business Alliance, but with over 11 of the communities in Waukesha County who would utilize them as their economic development engine. Those partnerships that we have with them helped us create the catalyst for what we are looking at as our third leg in the first initial impact that we wanted with the Business Alliance and the Center for Growth. And that was creating a revolving loan fund. And I'll give Dale credit again. When you look at this, we created, I think, a model that a lot of other organizations should look at. We announced a few months ago a $2 million investment in revolving loan fund. None of it is public dollars. It's banks. They realize, and when you think about it, if I want people to make sure that we're doing it right, I want the banks working with us. The other exciting thing that you'll hear soon is a private foundation is pledged $50,000 a year for the next 5 years. Another $250,000 that we'll have in that fund. And they're hoping to do a match pledge with other foundations and organizations to put the monies in there. This gives us the leverage and the opportunity to help all these smaller businesses, and we have the majority of them in Waukesha County, and 92% of our businesses are small businesses. This helps them leverage their growth, gives them the strength and the opportunity to expand and make our county and our county's valuation even stronger. So when we look at the budget, and as you get it tonight, it's a short read. I think it's under 500 pages this time. It's a good one. There's been a lot of time, energy, and effort. A lot of decisions had to be made as we walk through this. It isn't an easy job, and it isn't a simple task for one of us to do. I could never do this alone, and I've said before, with the help of many of you during the process, the help of the budget department, with our departments looking at how they can sharpen their pencils, I think we've presented a budget to you that keeps us in a good, sound fiscal balance and keeps us on strong footing as we move forward. And I know the next month and a half for you is not going to be easy, but I challenge you to take a look at this budget and listen at the committee hearings, what the departments are going through. And keep in mind that our goal is to provide for today and prepare for tomorrow. And if we do that, I think you'll see that we have a budget that's solid and is in good shape and puts us in a position that we can move forward for years to come. And with that, I thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the time.
You're welcome. Thank you for the presentation. And again, part of our job now for the next 6 weeks is listening, and we start obviously with the public hearing tomorrow evening. But as I've, at the WCA conference this last couple of days, received several compliments on the methodology that we use in our county board, and that is the utilization of our committees. I want to thank all the chairs and all the work you do, all of you supervisors, by showing up, asking tough questions, getting to the bottom of the answers, and making good, sound fiscal decisions. A lot of other counties ask, how do you do it and do it in such an effective way? So I say you do it, and thank you for your diligent efforts these next 6 weeks. With that, we will move on to our standing committee's presentations of ordinance resolutions and motions. First will be land use, parks, and environment. Ordinance 1740051.
Amend the district zoning map of the Town of Lisbon Zoning Code by conditionally rezoning certain lands located in part of the southeast quadrant, southwest quadrant, and northeast quadrant of Section 16, Town 8 North, Range 19 East, Town of Lisbon, Waukesha County, Wisconsin, from an A10 agricultural and R1 suburban single-family residential districts to a R1 suburban single-family residential district with a planned unit development overlay.
Supervisor Zimmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow supervisors, I move ordinance 1740051.
Second by Supervisor Hammett.
Thank you. This ordinance authorizes rezoning two parcels in the Town of Lisbon. One parcel is 76.7 acres. It's currently zoned A10 Ag. And there's another contiguous parcel of 2.6 acres that's zoned R1 suburban single-family residential. They are both proposed to be rezoned to R1 suburban residential and C1 conservancy with a planned unit development overlay. And this is in preparation for the development of a 54-lot single-family subdivision. A small wetland has been identified, and that is proposed to be rezoned to C1 conservancy. The development is planned for a minimum of 40% open space. If you've read through the ordinance thoroughly, you'll have noticed some public comment regarding this ordinance or the plan of the developer, mainly with regard to high groundwater and flooding concerns from a handful of residents. We did discuss that at committee. The plan will include clay-lined stormwater management facilities, and staff feels that, in fact, any flooding concerns that exist now will actually get better with this development and their ability to manage it a little better than has been done in the past. Nearby areas are already developed, and this rezone is consistent with the comprehensive development plan. It was approved by the Town of Lisbon Board, Waukesha County Park and Plan, unanimously at Lupe, and I urge your support.
Seeing no further discussion, would you please vote? The board is closed. The ordinance passes 25-0. Our next item is ordinance 1740052.
Authorize application for and acceptance of the county conservation grant for Okauchee Lake, Oconomowoc, and Fox River System watersheds 2020 muskie stocking. I didn't say that other word. Muskellunge.
We were trying to help them with muskellunge earlier, so. Supervisor Zimmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow supervisors, I move ordinance 1740052.
So moved by Supervisor, seconded by Supervisor Widow.
Thank you. This ordinance accepts Wisconsin DNR grant funding for the stocking of muskie fingerlings. You've seen this ordinance the past several years. We've had a similar ordinance. This is essentially a pass-through grant. The DNR grant program requires that the county apply for and receive the funding. The grant provides a 50-50 match for the fish stocking. There are two muskie clubs that are conducting the work, so they'll be chipping in $5,500, and the grant will pay the other $5,500 for stocking muskies into Okauchee Lake and the Oconomowoc and Fox River watersheds. The two muskie clubs do all the work, and then we'll reimburse them upon completion. This was approved unanimously at Lupe and unanimously at Finance, and I urge your support.
Seeing no further discussion, and we're not going to allow Supervisor Widow anywhere near that lake. Would you please vote? But you do have to vote.
I've been trying.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're fishing. You've been trying. The board is closed. The ordinance passes 25-0. Next, we'll hear from Executive Committee, Ordinance 1740053.
Modify 2019 County Library Levy Fund budget to appropriate expenditures to transfer to the Bridges Library System and increase fund balance revenues.
Supervisor Heinrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move ordinance
174-053.
Second by Supervisor Nelson.
What this ordinance does is that when we were contemplating merging with Jefferson County, they took the retained earnings from the Federated Library Board out and put it aside into the general fund. What this does is it brings it back to the library, Bridges Library System. Waukesha County does not have the ability to spend that money. So it's appropriate that we bring that back to the library, Bridges Library, so that they can use it as they deem necessary. The concern that we had is that Federated Library Board was strictly Waukesha County, and retained earnings, if you will, was earned strictly by Waukesha County. And now Jefferson County, as part of the Bridges system, is going to be spending some of the money also, just because it's part of the Bridges system. I don't know how we would get around that, but I can tell you, if it just sits in the general fund, nobody can spend the money. So I truly feel it's appropriate that we move this then to the Bridges Library system.
Thank you. Supervisor Paulson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, my fellow supervisors. I am not really turning cartwheels to pass this. I will vote for it. But I didn't like the idea that this is money that Waukesha County had accumulated, and now we're sharing with them because they came into the Bridges Library system. The only reason I did support it is because if we don't do it, we can't use it. And it isn't my ideal situation, but I will support it because of that. Thank you.
Supervisor Mitchell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, fellow supervisors. A lifetime ago, I was on the Federated Library Board. One of the things when this was going forward, the idea was the representation that we have on the Bridges Library, two of our own supervisors, along with other representatives from Waukesha County, actually have the majority of votes on the Bridges Board. So I feel comfortable that the money will be at least allocated fairly towards the Waukesha County side with that in mind.
Supervisor,
so I'm supporting.
Supervisor Cummings.
I don't know if any supervisor can. Mr. Chairman, fellow supervisors, it's relevant for how I will vote, but if this money was sitting there not being used because it hadn't been allocated, why wasn't the money allocated before you went to Bridges? Just asking.
Supervisor Heinrich, anything on that?
The monies were purposely removed and put into the general fund when discussions with Jefferson County and Federated Library System were talking about the merger. So they were purposely pulled out of the Federated Library System, put into the general fund, and truthfully probably intended to be just there in a temporary basis. I think as far as negotiations is concerned with Jefferson, it didn't cloud, by doing that, it didn't cloud the picture as far as negotiations as to the merger. So we just took the retained earnings, put it aside, then the merger came, and then it was brought back.
Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, would you please vote? Board is closed. The ordinance passes 24-1. Our next items are a series of appointments. Barring no objections, we will do all the appointments as one. Supervisor Heinrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My fellow supervisors, I move appointment 174A016 through appointment 174A024.
I have a second by Supervisor Swan.
I'll just read these out so you know who we're talking about. The first one is Pat Hockel, former County Board Supervisor. The appointment would be to the Community Development Block Board, and that was approved by Executive Committee 7-0. Second one is Meg Wartman to the Community Development Block Grant Board, again approved by Executive 7-0. Carla Friedrich to the Aging and Disabilities Resource Center Advisory Board, again 7-0 approved. Sandy Herberling to the Aging and Disabilities Resource Center Advisory Board, passed unanimously, Executive 7-0. Phyllis Wesolowski to the Aging and Disabilities Resource Center Advisory Board, passed unanimously, 7-0. Wendy Johnson to the Aging and Disabilities Resource Center Advisory Board, passed unanimously, 7-0. Appointment 22, Paulette LaMontagne to the Aging and Disabilities Resource Center Advisory Board, passed 7-0. Sandy Wolf, again, that's a relation to, in fact, it's Peter Wolf's mom. Sandy Wolf has done a lot for the county, in fact, a former supervisor, and she's coming back to help us. She's been appointed to the Aging and Disabilities Resource Center Advisory Board, if you deem so fit to do so. The next one is James Kebisek to the Veterans Service Commission. Again, these are all approved unanimously at Executive 7-0, and I urge your support.
Jim Kebisek, incidentally, was our former Veterans Department head, so he's coming back and helping us. Supervisor Paulson.
A correction on Ms. Wolf is that Peter Wolf is her son.
Thank you. Glad you cleared that up. Seeing no further discussion, would you please vote on the appointments? Board is closed. The appointments are approved 25-0. Next item is from Judiciary and Law Enforcement Committee, Ordinance 1740054.
Approve First Amendment of Lease with U.S. Cellular Operating Company, LLC, at Menomonee Park.
Supervisor Wolf.
Mr. Chairman, I move Ordinance Number 1740054.
Second by Supervisor Donlinger.
Mr. Chairman and my fellow supervisors, this is a First Amendment to our lease with U.S. Cellular for the tower at Menomonee Park. The terms are set forth. It allows for the terms are set forth in the agreement. Again, this is a good government and private business collaboration. Thank you. And it has no direct tax levy impact, and it also helps with our communication ability throughout the county for our emergency services, and I urge your support.
Seeing no further discussion, would you please vote? Board is closed. The ordinance is approved 25-0. Next item is Ordinance 1740055.
Authorized Department of Emergency Preparedness Telecommunicator Training Program.
Supervisor Wolf.
Mr. Chairman, I move Ordinance Number 1740055.
Second by Supervisor Grant.
Mr. Chairman and my fellow supervisors, our communications center has developed a training program that they use to train our telecommunicators, and over the years they have trained to other telecommunicators from within our county as well as others through outside counties. What this ordinance does is allow the Department of Emergency Preparedness to charge a fee for that to the other agencies. This will provide a nominal source of revenue, but it does, this provides also additional collaboration between governmental entities. It does not have any negative tax levy impact. It could probably only have positive, and I strongly urge your support.
Seeing no further discussion, would you please vote? Court is closed. The ordinance has passed 25-0. I look forward to seeing many of you tomorrow evening at the public hearing, and I want to wish best of luck to our Trikers, and wish you the best. Hope to be there to see you come to victory. I have a motion by Supervisor Wolf and a second by Supervisor Cummings to adjourn until our next meeting on October 22nd. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Please stay in your seats for your budget book. Read them as thoroughly as you can. Have a good evening. I'm 20 minutes.